All right, good afternoon. We will be on the record in docket number 89127. No, we have 34 total minutes of argument today. Each side has 17 minutes, the first 2 minutes of which are uninterrupted. Do you all wish to retain some time for rebuttal?
Yes, I would like to retain
3 minutes. Okay, and you can go ahead and start when you're ready.
May it please the court, I'm Kara Hendricks. I'm here today on behalf of the Clark County School District. This is an issue of first impression in the state of Nevada and will have far-reaching implications beyond the two parties that are on the case caption. The issue before the court is whether emails on an electronic server are education records under FERPA. Education records must be directly related to a student and maintained by an educational agency. Although this is the first time that this court has been tasked to look at the issue, numerous courts across the country have considered this issue and have overwhelmingly concluded that emails are not education records. Why? Because if you were to conclude that CCSD maintains an email simply because it exists on an electronic server, it would render the term maintain meaningless, as then any document in the possession of an educational institution would be maintained and subject to review and production each time a school receives a routine education request. When looking at this issue, all roads lead back to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Owosso. Owosso provides an interpretive roadmap for this court its production. Owosso tested the definition against other provisions in FERPA. This court followed a very similar approach to interpret a statute last year in the Cardenas-Garcia matter. There, you found the plain text analysis should not produce an absurd result or render another portion of the statute meaningless. Stopping at the dictionary definition of maintained and deeming emails on an electronic server to be education. Why? Based on FERPA, there should be a single record of access. And second, a parent has a right to challenge the contents and accuracy of an educational record in a hearing. It would be absurd for a parent to be able to challenge every email that exists in an email server just because it references a particular student.
Counsel, could an email ever be an education record? What if it's printed out and put into a physical file? Or I'm struggling to understand, because I know that sometimes emails can discuss substantive things about the kid and the parent wants access to that communication. Could it ever be classified as an education record?
Absolutely, Your Honor, it can. And when you look at the other cases that have analyzed the issue of emails and servers, even one that was issued just a week or two ago, that's what they found, is if an email is printed and put in the student's file, and in the case of special education students, they have a file at the school location where their records are accessed. So if an email's printed and produced, put in that file, it is an education record. It could also be stored into an electronic file that is student specific, and that's really the key here. It has to be maintained student specifically, and the problem we have when we look at the Google workspace is that emails are not stored there student specifically, and that's what creates the problems that we're seeing and the basis for our request.
So, Ms. Hendricks, it seems like some of the issue with that proposed rule raised by the other side and in other cases is that would almost be like an incentive for the school district to just not sort ed records. Is that the rule?
That is not the rule. And I think that's why when you look at FERPA and you look at Owosso, that really is the guidance that we go back to on FERPA, it has to be maintained for that student. And CCSD does have a number of files where they contain records for the students. And it's the other the other side does not dispute that they received records. I'm concerned of the opposite of impact of that. If you were to say every email that references a student or mentions a student is now an education record, why would anybody send an email? It would really stifle communication because then there's these other standards. And as I indicated, FERPA has these other provisions that you have to look at in context of what's being requested here.
How relevant do you think OWASU is at this point in 2025 when there isn't really printing and sticking in a file cabinet anymore, right? So in the Clark County School District, for example, absence records are all done by email, right? It's an electronic email that the parent sends to the school.
Well, I think I'm going to answer it two different ways. So first, there are electronic records, and you'd be surprised there is the hard copy file, especially for the special education students. There is what they call the confidential file that is a hard copy file at the school. So they do have both. But to, you know, the first point you made, how relevant is OWASU? It is absolutely relevant because that's the framework you have to follow. There was a case from a court in District Columbia on July 21st that followed the OWASU framework to find that emails on a server were not education records. So where OWASU is important and I think has the most applicability here is when you are taking a look at what does maintain mean and then taking a look at the other portions of the FERPA statute to make sure everything is read in context.
So if the emails are not education records, would a parent be able to obtain them through the NPRA?
That is a question. I have not looked specifically at public records requests. And the issue with a public records request is that it's subject to FERPA protections. So if a parent were to make a Nevada public records request and request those emails, they would be redacted subject to FERPA. So it's kind of a tricky situation. I think the big issue is parents are not always entitled to emails.
So are they protected by FERPA or are they not protected by FERPA? Because the school district is arguing they're not FERPA records, but then they wouldn't be subject to a public records request?
So two different issues. So FERPA has a definition for records, which is broader than the narrow definition for education records, which are subject to production in a case like this, where a student says, I need my education records. So there's a broader definition of records, and that's part of the issue. If this court decides that all emails on the CCSD server that reference a student are FERPA records, then there's no way anybody's ever going to get access to those records because there's going to be even more heavy redactions than exist today. So, I don't have all the specifics on the public record request, which are treated differently under different standards and definitions that apply when you make a public records request and certain redactions and things related to the public records request. So, I apologize. I don't have all of those details that are specific to a public records request available.
So who has access to the Google Vault? Well, let me ask two questions. Google Vault, is it a permanent secure database, number one? And then who has access to the Vault?
So the emails are stored on Google Workspace. Google Vault is a tool that's used to search through Google Workspace.
Okay.
Google Workspace is secure. It's not something that people readily have access to. It's where emails go to die, and they exist on that workspace. So what happens in a case like this, and I'll use my experience in civil discovery, because in civil discovery, it's a broader scope of what's requested. I'm in a civil discovery context, and we receive a request for all emails about a specific student, we'll sit down with the other side and say, okay, what are the email custodians you want us to search? What are the search terms? And we do this meet and confer process that we're all familiar with, right? So in that context, when I talk about an email custodian, the email custodian is the person whose email the records are being pulled from. So if I had a principal of a school, he's the email custodian of those records. If I had a teacher, she's the email custodian of those records when we're doing searches. So it's a little difficult to answer your question. I'm not trying to be elusive at all. in this kind of a context, if we're searching for those records and we need those search terms run, CCSD has a department that can run the searches, so they can run searches for not looking at any documents. There's a very complicated process they have to go through then to abstract those documents, and then what we will usually do use in the civil discovery context is we'll use a third-party vendor to go in and help us deduplicate and do the searches to start narrowing the pile of documents that we need to review and produce in that type of a situation.
How does the school district decide what is, in terms of emails, because more and more things are done by email, I think, which was my point about a lawsuit, right, is it's a completely different way that things are handled now. But what, how does the school district decide what emails go into an educational record, what do not, and then what is the parent's remedy if they're trying to obtain those records and the school district has improperly categorized the email?
So first off, CCSD has a regulation. It's regulation 5125.1, subsection 1B, and it's in the record as, I believe, AB, let me just pull it up so that I have it handy, or PA74. That defines what education records are and where they're kept. You may have saw in the brief that Washoe County produced, they have a much more detailed list of records and locations. That's something that CCSD is considering putting into place. So the district, and FERPA specifically says that the district is required, or a school is required to come up with those parameters. And to your question, if there is not a, if a document is not produced that's an educational record, we may be in a scenario like this. We may be in a district court civil litigation case if there was an education record that existed that wasn't there. So I think there's different ways that you can address it, both through the due process proceeding and another one, but ultimately it's up for the district to decide what constitutes an education record, and that's specified in FERPA.
Ms. Hendricks, is there direction for staff or teachers about when they have an affirmative obligation to secure an email and make sure that it makes its way to the permanent file?
There is, and I will be very candid with you. That's something that CCSD is going to work on improving, making clear as a result of this case. Sure. Because I think this case has highlighted that, you know, the guidance can be clearer. You know, right now when you look at Regulation 5125, when a parent, and other provisions in the statutes too, when a parent wants an education record, they go to the school principal who may have, you know, his administrative assistant start gathering the information. We need to do a better job, I think, of communicating that, of this is what needs to go into the file, and that's something that we're working on and improving. And that's really the best way that I can answer that question.
Well, and that's part of my concern that ties into Justice Bell's concern about the applicability of OWASO and the fact that so much more is done by email today. Back when I was in school in the 1800s, everything hard copy, right? And we know with hard copies, you're either maintaining it or it's destroyed, right? Early days of email, deleted emails were incredibly difficult to obtain or obtain with any reliability. So it's either saved or it's really difficult, if not impossible, to get. Now we have things like Google Vault and Google Workspace where, and the district makes a choice to maintain all of these things there. To me, the deliberation and decision making to save something when you know it's going to be lost forever can kind of fade a little bit when you know it's recoverable forever. So the district could make choices about how it's going to maintain that vault, but you choose to have that vault where you can now go back and find anything you need to. And I know every one of us, we get emails all the time, right? And you think, well, I'm cleaning out my box, I'm going to delete those, I can find it again if I need it with just a really easy search. So my concern is, does the deliberation of what goes into the educational records, the permanent file, et cetera, kind of get diminished a little bit because you know the backup is it's always available to me?
I don't think so, and I know time's up, but if I can go ahead and answer.
That's a really long question, so please go ahead.
All right, I will do my best to be succinct. So I think a couple of points. One, you say searching it is easy. I can run searches, but I can't run a search that's only going to pull up my child's name or one child's name. So you have this kind of interplay where you have technology that says, hey, everything's here, but it doesn't allow you to search just for a specific student. And you know, this case illustrates it. If you ran this student's name throughout all the emails in Google Vault, you know, you have 4.8 million hits. That's not searching for a student. And I think where OWASO comes in, and you know, the initial part of your question, well, is OWASO still applicable? You know, the whole holding in OWASO and what they were looking at and envisioning is a file where you can go to a file drawer and pull out a drawer, and I can go, oh, look, here's little Johnny's file, and pull out little Johnny's file. And there are different places in CCSD where you can do that, and that's what is produced as an education record. In this day and age, you're right, some of it is going to be electronic, but it's stored by student. And so when you look at other courts that have done the same analysis, they go through that framework in OWASO where they're starting with the definition, looking at the other provisions of what FERPA requires, and they have found that the emails on a server are not maintained because they're not specific to that student. And that's really the issue that we're talking about. Just because they exist, they're not student-specific, that's
unless
where we have the problem.
I misunderstood the school district's brief. There were four separate searches that came up with that 4 million number. There was a search by student ID number, which is widely used in communications about students in Clark County. There was a search by the full name, and then by first initial last name, and then just by last name. Right? So it is possible to search by the student's full name or by the student's ID number.
It is possible, but the problem that you get, and what we saw is when the district court looked at this, the district court said, here's the search terms we want to use. When the panel looked at this issue initially, they said, we want to use these search terms. We're aware of due process proceedings where hearing officers say, we want you to use these search terms. So now you're having this variation of search terms, and part of it goes back to, I would consider, you know, emails going to Justice Herndon's comment, more today a comment to a water cooler discussion that you may have had years ago. Those were not all education records. There were communications going on. Now it may be done via email, but that doesn't mean it's an education record unless it's purposely placed with that student's folder. And that's what, when you look at the standards in the other cases, what they have found.
We're going to add 2 minutes to your time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you.
And add 2 minutes on the respondent's time as well.
Okay. Good afternoon, and may it please the court, Marina Dahlia Hunt, on behalf of Real Party and Interest JB, who is a special needs student in foster care in the Clark County School District. These education rights are held by a court-appointed educational decision maker. This case asks whether a school district may withhold from an educational surrogate emails that, one, directly relate to the student, two, it must retain by state law, and three, are stored in a central district-controlled version of an e-discovery platform. Both FERPA and NRS 392.029 define education records as documents that are directly related to a student and maintained by the district. Nevada has also adopted local government retention schedules, which require districts to maintain for 6 years after the student leaves the district all correspondence relating to a student's special education, including about their IEPs, placement, evaluation, discipline, transportation, and related services, all correspondence relating to those things. CCSD does not dispute that it retains the emails in question. It simply refuses to organize them and now argues that the burden is simply too high to sort through the relevant records. By its own admission, CCSD has stored years of emails in the Google Workspace, its centralized e-discovery platform that it is referred to in prior proceedings on this matter as its junk drawer. Their theory is that unless an email was manually printed and filed in a student's physical folder, it vanishes from the reach of FERPA and Nevada law, including public record requests. The court is not being asked to define the outer bounds of FERPA. It is being asked to decide whether the educational decision maker for a foster student with complex disabilities and is entitled to see what the school district has said about this child's special needs. When the school district intentionally stores this information globally and could produce it with a few keystrokes. To accept CCSD's argument is to create a system where educational rights hinge on the record-keeping habits of a district and where digital evidence becomes a legal black hole, available in civil litigation, apparently, but not to the person responsible for ensuring that JB receives a free, appropriate public education. So we would ask that the district court order be upheld, or in the alternative, that the panel's decision be reinstated. We agree with the school district. Owosso is the only relevant case on this matter and the only one that has binding precedent on this court. It adopted a broad definition of the technical parameters of what maintain means, but it also clearly included the definition of maintain as to keep in existence or continuance, preserve, or retain.
CCS Council, is there a trend happening on the cases that have addressed it? And there's not a lot out there. But you look at the cases like Tulare and Colonial, where they come out and say that emails that are not stored in the student's permanent file, so segregated and then put into some kind of segregated file, whether that be electronic or paper, then those are not maintained and not subject to FERPA. So there's the, what do we do with those line of cases?
Sure. I think that the only way to reconcile those is to find that the Google Workspace is a centrally maintained secure server under Owosso, right? So this is a highly fact-specific inquiry, and candidly, the district set forth very little evidence on the operation of its Google Vault system at the district court level. But what we know is it's a centralized platform where all the emails go. What each case, especially in Tulare County, discuss is they look at exactly how the emails are sent. And I believe in Tulare, each individual teacher was asked to print out their individual emails. There wasn't a centralized server, which we have here, where a custodian of record could run a search and pull the emails. I think another thing that these courts didn't touch on or didn't have the opportunity to discuss is that in those cases, especially in Tulare County, the district had placed many emails in the student's confidential file. It's 2025. That's how information is sent from service providers. It's how information is sent between teachers and special education facilitators. And they put hundreds of emails into the student's file. That did not happen here. The 200 emails that were searched for and produced by the district were produced outside of the cumulative and confidential folder. So the CCSD has already demonstrated they can do this search, and the act of omitting every single email about this student was not considered by the court. But then I think one additional thing that none of the courts have had the opportunity to consider, and that's likely because it's very fact-specific to the state, is what about those records that the district is required by law to retain? See, Nevada is very clear that the school districts must retain information relating to the student, the provision of special education. That's really what we're focused on here. I mean, I would posit that getting an email that JB went on a field trip is not relevant to his special education needs. But here we have a student in foster care who has a educational decision maker appointed by the court who, while in this case was a relative, in many cases involving children in foster care might be a complete stranger. And these emails discuss in real time what is working for the student, what doesn't work for the student. And we know these emails exist because we received them outside of the cumulative file. So I think while there are some unpublished cases from other federal district courts, it's very fact specific. I would not object in any way to this being remanded to the district court for a full evidentiary hearing on the functionality of the Google Workspace, but that record was not developed before the district court.
So you were provided some emails from CCSD. Was there any explanation as to why those emails were produced as opposed to the additional ones you're seeking now?
No. So what happened, we did a formal records request on behalf of the educational decision maker. We were provided the cumulative file and the confidential folder. We asked for a supplement and received 200 emails directly from the principal. We asked those emails contained like obvious omissions. It was like a chain email where certain parts of the emails were not included. And we asked for the full search on Google Vault, and that's where the dispute began.
Understood. Thank you.
So those emails you're speaking of weren't necessarily provided to you under FERPA. They were provided just as part of the request.
It was a request made pursuant to FERPA.
Additional request, you said you had the confidential, you got different things, and you said, hey, is there more?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And I will say that the Nevada Administrative Code does anticipate that schools will do a search for all records, so it's not outside the realm of normal for us to get kind of a sequence of separate emails, as the district apparently doesn't have a centralized program for where records are stored, so we do get them in a trickle pursuant to a FERPA request.
So, Council, is it your position that, like, if any teacher or any administrator in that school that happens to have a document sitting on their desk somewhere that has the child's name on it, that's an educational record?
No. Specifically emails sent from an nv.ccsd.net email address, including ones that have been deleted.
And then there's case law that seems to indicate with regard to the directly related requirement under FERPA that doesn't mean any email that ever mentions the child's name ever. Do you agree that that is broader, or how would you define the directly related?
Correct. So really what the educational decision maker was seeking here was emails relating to the provision of special education services, and that would include related services, evaluations, IEPs, things of that nature that are set forth in the document retention schedule.
Well, so it seems like what the court ordered here was more than that.
It did. It ordered something broader. I believe it said any emails that mention JB.
All emails that reference JB.
Yes.
That's it.
What I would say is, I mean, I think that it's reasonable to infer that the court expected CCSD to follow the prevailing standard, which is directly related, that a class roster that includes 50 students is not directly related to JB, but emails saying JB really struggled in class and I think he needs an autism evaluation would certainly fall under the directly related category. Even things like JB's having a problem with this other student, we need to think about how to make this work, that would assist the educational decision maker in doing her court-appointed duties. So I think the district, as it demonstrated in its subsequent briefing, has the ability to limit search terms. This is a student who attended two CCSD schools, and the initial request was for a period of only three school years, the 21-22 and forward school years. They could limit that search to only the schools he attended and the years that he actually attended school, and I think that their concern about burden would be substantially alleviated. I know that they've subsequently objected to the use of search terms, but if we're hoping to get emails directly related to JB on an e-discovery platform, I think it's reasonable for CCSD to use the tools that it pays for to do so.
Counsel, do you think there's any intentionality that has to be appended to the creation of a record in this context?
I'm not sure.
Two teachers sending an email and having a conversation, because that's a medium for conversation, mm-hmm. and emails to some extent are transitory, whether or not they can be backed up or not. So every conversation that we don't know anything about between two teachers about a student then would go in my child's permanent record. That's part of their permanent, my child's permanent education record is in any coffee cooler conversation that is by email.
I think CCSD staff, when they use their work email to discuss a student, it's reasonable that they are. That is still useful information for an educational decision maker to have.
I guess it's just the concept of everybody accidentally making records that are not expressly. Well, strike that. I mean, you really have two different bodies of information. One of which I have an administrator, I have an educational record I'm responsible for and keeping these things and being responsive to. The other is just a backup of a bunch of other random conversations that a staff member, presumably, if I send an email that contains an attachment or is a formal letter, I would expect that would have to get put over there to do that. Or could be made part of a record, could become a record, but there'd be some intentionality to that as opposed to just conversation.
I think that has two separate issues. So first, and I think this goes back to what Justice Bell was raising with other counsel, is the school district is a public organization. Nevada public record law essentially says that unless it's deemed confidential under the law or otherwise, it is a public record that can be accessed by anyone, right? So even if it wasn't in your child's permanent folder, then that would suggest any journalist could seek it and gain access to it, likely redacted, but they could still gain access to it. So CCSD has added this additional barrier that it's this kind of separate third category that doesn't exist under Nevada law, where it's not FERPA, but it's not public record, but it's something else that relates to a student, but they don't have to give it to the person responsible for making educational decisions. And I think the other issue with that is if CCSD were routinely saving emails relating to students, which at least as to JB, we know it was not putting any emails into the confidential folder, then the fact that it might be over-inclusive is kind of unfortunately the least of our concerns, because it's not saving any into the confidential folder, so no conversations relating to JB are accessible.
So does the fact that emails are backed up mean they're maintained within the meaning of FERPA?
When it's on a central secure database, as described in OWASO, yes. I don't think a teacher individually purchasing their own email platform and sending emails would qualify under OWASO.
But didn't OWASO also talk about that the statute suggests the education records be maintained by a single central custodian, such as a registrar, and, you know, have to be preserved or retained? You saying that applies here?
That does apply here.
Yeah.
To the extent your argument is somewhat of a, this is less a legal argument or legal problem and more of an IT problem, and it's an IT problem created by the school districts, how they've set things up. Is there a way in your mind that they could maintain that vault to separate things out and kind of
absolutely
limit the burden that they've alleged in their moving papers?
Absolutely. So I think there's a couple ways that could happen. They do have a custodian of record. He was identified. He did a declaration in the lower court. That individual or multiple individuals could be tasked with reviewing emails and saving them to individual folders. Teachers, while they're sending emails, could save them to the online folder. Even, I think, automatically, they could automatically, anything with the name JB gets saved to the JB folder. I think then there would not be a burden of compliance. It's only now 8 years after CCSD started using the Google Vault and they're being asked to search it that it's become a burden. Of course, it's more difficult now when nothing has been saved.
And so for every time someone requests an educational record, it'd be your position that the administrator of those records would have to go to Google Vault and do a search without asking, because you're saying everything over in the Google Vault that mentions a student is part of their FERPA educational record?
Not quite. So not everything that mentions a student is part of their education record. It has to be.
I have a question, which is your brief on page 11 notes that it's true that no appellate court across the country issuing a public decision has specifically addressed whether emails stored in a secure database like Google Workspace or Google Vault are education records, and then it continues on. So you are blazing a new trail here with this argument that these are presumptively educational records that need to be sorted through and culled on request. Is that right?
Should I answer?
Yeah, go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. That addresses the issue of an e-discovery platform and the interplay with FERPA. However, there is a, I believe, a 2012 case out of the Ohio Supreme Court relating to the Ohio Public Records Act, where it found essentially exactly what we're asking this court to hold, that that emails could not be requested under the Ohio Public Record Act because they were intentionally saved on a centralized server, including deleted emails and attachments. So it's not quite a new path, but it is a new interpretation. I do believe that it is in line with current United States Supreme Court guidance, Department of Education guidance. In March, the United States Department of Education issued a Dear Colleague letter, essentially explaining that the purpose of FERPA is twofold, right? It's to protect the privacy of students and to empower parents to have the information that they need to make educational decisions relating to their children in their best interest. And even when documents are disaggregated, that does not change the nature of the need to produce that information to the parent. And I think what's important in this matter to consider is that the initial reason for the request for records was to ensure that this student's special education needs were met. And looking at the other federal law relating to the protection of educational rights for children, the IDEA, the highest emphasis is placed on the right to parental participation. So denying the right to parental participation in the context of special education is a presumptive denial of the right to free appropriate public education. And the Ninth Circuit, in a case involving Clark County School District, found that guaranteeing the parents the ability to make informed decisions about their children's education grants them the right to examine all relevant records relating to their child's identification. And this is especially important in the context of a child in foster care, where, again, this might be a stranger appointed by the court to represent their educational interests at an IDEA meeting who may know nothing about the student except what's written on paper. So the more paper, the better, to ensure that the child's educational rights are protected. And
I guess the concern, though, is, and I understand your point, but you're asking for a very broad interpretation of the FERPA requirement to achieve that goal. And I'm wondering if there are other avenues that would be more appropriate to that.
I think at this stage, this is the avenue available to the educational decision maker to access the records, as a request was made and it was denied. And there's a specific law in Nevada that allows for the joinder of a party for failing to meet, for violating the rights of a child in care. I do think that if the educational decision maker opted to file an IDEA case, go through due process, go through an appeal, could ultimately go to the federal district court and then add on an ADA complaint and then seek discovery there, they could, as CCSD's position is that these emails could be available through federal discovery but not a due process proceeding, that is potentially available. It's not the most efficient or effective to ensure that the student's needs are met in the upcoming school year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There are a lot of issues, so I'll try not to talk too fast as I go through these. But I want to start by pointing to the record. It's at PA 048, on what was requested initially. What legal aid requested from the school district under the guise of a FERPA request included any and all communications concerning said student. Concerning. It was not limited in any way.
But and the emails were produced, though. So how did they decide that?
Produced. Yeah. This is a classic case of no good deed goes unpunished. What happened in this particular case is the school principal got the request, as is the practice at CCSD, and somebody at the school level started printing out emails and collecting them, and they were produced. What things did CCSD get for producing records beyond what FERPA requires? They got named in a lawsuit. So there are circumstances
Can
where
ask,
emails are produced.
What was the screening process through right. the principal that identified the 200 or so emails that were delivered?
I don't know specifically. My understanding is when somebody saw this broad request, somebody at the school level went to the individual teachers that had worked with the student and said, "Where are your emails?" And they printed out the emails and produced them. But I think that, again, takes us back to not just because they were produced in this case doesn't make them an education record under FERPA. And I do want to address, too, the argument that was raised relating to Nevada's record retention schedule, because I think that's really important. When you look at the record retention schedule, it says specifically says may, not must produce. And then what I thought was most interesting is, well, two things. One, it doesn't mention emails. Two, the legal citations that are referenced in the special education section reference FERPA and go right back to the definition that we're looking at today that takes it maintained, and we have to look at the statute in the context and as a whole.
You can continue your thought.
Thank you. I will be as quick as I can. I did want to address the issue and the contention that CCSD refuses to organize documents in Google Workspace. I think that's a misunderstanding of what Google Workspace is and how it exists. It is a platform that stores information by email custodian, and it can be searched. The idea that the director of the ESI department at CCSD should now review emails creates the absurd result that OWASO and the other cases warn against. You have 300,000 students in CCSD, 40,000 staff members. So under my colleague's interpretation, one person is now supposed to go in and sort all of this information and put it in student-specific files and decide so what directly relates to. That just doesn't make sense.
Was the functionality of Google Vault vetted below by the district court?
It was not, and I would point out that none of the other courts that have looked at this issue have also done an evidentiary hearing or analysis of the search capabilities of an electronic platform. Washoe County put in their brief that they use a similar platform. I don't think it makes any sense to remand this to do a functionality test. That's not what's required. Under OWASO, you need to start with the definition of maintain and then look at the rest of the statute. If you have to provide access or if a parent gets to challenge what is in every, you get the absurd result that is just not contemplated by FERPA. And, you know, by context too, when you're looking at these issues and when a parent or in this case an EDM makes a request for those records, the turnaround time is supposed to be quick because it's supposed to be a confined set of records. It's not supposed to be go search for this. I would submit that if you have to search for something, it's not maintained. The whole idea is that you have a file cabinet where you can go and pull a document out. In fact, the recent guidance from the Department of Education, which of course is not binding on this court, but that specific guidance that went out, it was related to a file that was a student-specific file for a transgender student that had not been produced to the parents in the initial education request. And in that case, the Department of Ed said, if you have a file with the student's name on it, you need to produce that. You can't segregate that out. So I think that's a very important distinction.
What if you just have the file? Because you said if you have to search for it, it's not maintained. I think that's what you said. So what if you just have a junk drawer with papers everywhere, and you have to go search for them? So those are not being maintained because they're not organized into one neat little file. Is that your position in terms of maintain?
In essence, I think so, because I'll use the cumulative file or the confidential file at the school level that has the special ed records in it. When there is an IEP process for a special needs student, those records are kept in a hard file. They're not thrown anywhere on the floor. When you have an IEP meeting, somebody's not running around trying to pick up documents and guess what's there. They go to a central place, they pull out the file, and they have those records. In this case, JB's decision maker had those files. She could participate in the decisions. And I think it's also a very important distinction when we're talking about this, and even when you look at the legislative history of FERPA and the changes that were made to FERPA, you know, back in 1974, so it has been a little while. They're talking about records that are for the purpose of making education decisions, so data and things that help inform that decision. All of that was provided in this case. And it's not that decisions are made for placement or for services in a vacuum where the parent or the decision maker is not a part of those. There is a IEP process with a whole IEP team where those decisions are made, and the parent can ask questions. They can find out what's going on, and then there's a process if they disagree with the decision that's ultimately made where they can challenge that in a formal due process hearing with the state hearing officer. So I believe I've got to most of the points that were raised, and I want to be cautious of your time. But I think, you know, going back to what we initially talked about, you can't look at the word maintain in a vacuum. You can't look at these records in a vacuum. All the other courts, and I would, you know, disagree with the contention that no other district courts have looked at it. They have, and they have all come out the same way the district is positioning here, is that the documents have to be intentionally maintained for a student to be considered an educational record, and we would request an order from this court to that effect. Thank you.
Thank you.